In our new series of Gold and Silver Dagger award-winning thrillers, The Night of Wenceslas.
Why did you do it, Uncle?
But, Nicholas, what do you mean?
Why did you spy on me for this man, Vowles? Why did you send me out there? To Prague?
The Night of Wenceslas by Lionel Davidson. Dramatized by Frederick Bradman. With Rupert Graves, John Horsley, and Joanna Kanska.
Why did you spy on me for this man, Vowles? Why did you send me out there? To Prague?
I made that accusation 30-odd years ago. I was 24, Uncle Imrie about 60. I've not been allowed to tell this story until now, when the face and political systems of Europe have been changed, the president's palace in Prague occupied by Czechoslovakia's once leading dissident playwright, the old spying games finished and done with. What was I like in 1954?
Nicholas, be a good boy and try for once to follow my advice. When you've learnt the business thoroughly, you'll take up your full duties as a partner.
That's all very well, Mr. Niemek, but I'm in debt.
Debt? How can you be? You're getting a very handsome allowance while you learn the business. Do you think you're worth £7 a week at present?
All I know is I can't manage.
A postman with a family manages on little more.
The business Niemek said I was to learn thoroughly had been started by my father in the 1930s to import glass, which was made in his Bohemian factory. My father, who died in 1941, was English and had married a proud beauty, my mother, whom her friends and myself called Marminka. I'd grown up in Prague until I was six, and my command of the Czech tongue was good, as I still spoke it with my mother and her Czech friends.
Well, I don't know about postman, Mr. Niemek, but I had to borrow a fiver from Marminka a few weeks ago.
You should not do that, Nicholas. Borrowing from your mother, that is bad. How is the sweet lady?
Marminka lived in a private hotel in Bournemouth, chaperoned, as it were, by an elderly relation, my uncle, Imrie Gabriel. The man I worked for, £7 a week, was Karel Niemek, the brother of my old nanny Hannah, who'd never left Prague. Karel Niemek ran what was left of my father's glass business in England. In Czechoslovakia, it was part of the state glass board.
And you run a car, which you can't afford, Nicholas. You should get rid of it.
I might have to. I don't want to.
The car, a 1935 red strap-bound MG, was my pride and joy. I had no intention of selling it. I apologize for these seemingly mundane details, but they are germane to my story in more ways than one. And in 1954, there was Maura, 21, Irish, the mass of red hair.
So you didn't get the rise?
Oh, seeing him again next week.
And that seems satisfactory to you, does it?
Well, the little swine says he wants time to consider it.
To consider doing nothing about it?
Well, perhaps Uncle Biela will peg out and leave me his money.
Uncle Biela? He'll live to be 100.
Uncle Biela is very relevant to my story. My mother's unmarried brother, who lived in Vancouver and had once told Marminka that I'd be his heir. Marminka was sure he was a dollar millionaire.
Two eggs for you, Mr. Whistler, because you seem hungry this morning.
Thank you, Mrs. Nolan.
Aren't you going to open your letter, then?
I'll wait until I've had my breakfast, thank you.
Mrs. Nolan ran the house in which I lodged. A kind, if inquisitive, woman. I remember how reluctant I was to open the letter. In fact, I had a crazy desire to run with it into the kitchen and stuff it unopened into the boiler. Such a course would have saved me a great deal of trouble. No walking Wenceslas Square like a terror-stricken animal. And no knowledge, moral or carnal, of Vluster Seemanhofer.
Well, it might be important, Mr. Whistler.
Yeah, all right, I'll open it. With regard to the estate of the late Mr. Belayanda, I should be glad if you would telephone this office to arrange an early appointment. Yours faithfully, Stephen Vowles.
Good grief.
Are you all right, Mr. Whistler? Bad news, is it? Is it your mother?
No. It's about my uncle. He's dead.
Oh.
Uncle Biela.
Oh, I'm sorry. The letter's from the solicitor, is it?
Well, it's from Vowles and Company, Francis Street, Victoria. They don't say they're solicitors, but they must be. Uncle Biela was my mother's brother. Must have died suddenly.
You've had a shock. Have some more tea, Mr. Whistler. Then go along and see this firm.
I rang and made an appointment that morning. A secretary, with what seemed a Czech accent, took me into Vowell's office. I remember that at first I didn't see him and wondered, in my rather potty way, if he was hiding somewhere. Then he came round his desk. He was practically a midget, a little dolly of a man who walked towards me with quick, miniature steps. His voice was also not as I expected.
Mr. Whistler?
Yes, how do you do?
I am pleased to make your acquaintance. Do take a seat.
Thank you.
A cigarette?
Ah, thank you, yes.
I should like to express my condolences on your bereavement. You didn't know your uncle very well, I understand.
No, I only met him once, actually.
I knew him well. He was a fine man.
You knew him in Vancouver?
I visited him there, yes. He died of a heart attack on Wednesday. Last Wednesday in the evening.
Does anyone else know?
You are the first member of the family I've informed. He was, of course, your mother's brother. Perhaps there's some older person who would wish to break the news to her?
Yes, I'll ask her friend, Imre Gabriel. He lives in the same hotels. Good idea, thanks.
Do you know that you figure prominently in your uncle's will?
I'd heard he was thinking of leaving me something.
He has. The lot.
Good Lord.
Look out your cigarette on the carpet.
Sorry, good Lord, has he? The lot?
Yes. I'm not able to give you the complete figure, of course, but I can give you a general idea, if you like.
Thank you, yes.
I have the figures worked out here. In cash and securities, he left something in the region of $50,000. £17,000 to £18,000.
Cash, securities?
Yes, a greater part of the estate, which consists of the cannery, a fair-sized fruit farm, buildings and so on, is worth somewhere around $350,000. About £140,000. There are death duties.
Oh.
Are you feeling all right?
No. I'm going to...
I fainted away. Vowles and his secretary brought me round. I asked for 200 quid on account, which in 1954 was a good deal of money. It was as if Fowles had anticipated the request and the amount. He made me sign for it and said he'd be in touch as soon as he'd more news. I phoned the hotel in Bournemouth.
Uncle Imre? It's Nicholas.
Hello, Nicholas. It is so cute to hear from you.
I was thinking of driving down to see you. I've got great news. Uncle Biela has,
Biela Yanda?
Yeah, he's died and he's left me all his money.
What is this? Just a minute. The door is open. There is noise. That's better. You say Biela is dead?
Yes, I put it rather badly. He died last Wednesday after a heart attack. I saw his solicitor today, Mr. Vowles.
Mr. Vowles, yes. Oh, it will distress Maminka terribly.
It seems he's left his considerable fortune to me. Still there, Uncle?
Yes. I can't tell Maminka today, Nicholas. She is not well enough for such news.
I hope you would break it to her before...
Not this weekend. I think it would be better if you didn't come down this weekend.
All right, if you say.
Let me choose the right time to tell her, please.
All right, I'll leave it to you. I'll call you in a couple of days' time.
Poor old Uncle Imre. He had to stall. For if Maminka had got to know, it would have upset the apple cart no end. Then I had to explain to Maura how I'd come into the money. Not 200, though.
£25?
Mm-hmm. I won it.
Nicholas, you never did. Where?
At the dogs last night.
At the dogs?
Mm-hmm.
What dogs? You've never been near a greyhound race before.
I know. It was beginner's luck.
Nicholas, you're flipping.
I'm not.
Are you sure? Didn't you perhaps get it out of Mr. Nemec?
Nemec? The little swine wouldn't give me his colt.
The dogs. Which track?
White City.
Well, I'll have to believe you, won't I? £25, though. I've been thinking of going back to Ireland.
I know you said August next month.
No, I mean for good.
Why, for heaven's sake?
All my family are in Ireland. I've got nobody here.
What about me?
What about you?
Well, you know how I feel about you.
I know you want to go to bed with me.
Oh, come on, that's not fair, Maura. There's more to it than that.
Is there, Nicholas? What?
Well, I love you.
I love you too, Nicholas. But there doesn't seem much chance of our ever being able to do much about it.
Why not?
Somehow, I see you as a lifelong poor relative. You won't tackle things, so no one will do anything for you. Not Nemec or Uncle Biela, because you won't press things.
Listen, Maura, things are going to be different. I promise, circumstances will change. I know they will, because I'll make them change. And I shall feel the same about you, whatever happens, as I do now. Do you understand? This is a new beginning, Maura.
Oh, Nicholas, kiss me.
You love me half as much as I love you. You wouldn't worry me half as much as you do.
Something I couldn't explain to myself, a sort of caution, made me unprepared to tell Maura the story of vows and the legacy. But seeing what happened was just as well. After a short, pleasing interview with the little swine 3 days later, I phoned Vowles and was invited to see him at 11 the next morning. Once again, I had to hide my amazement at his mannequin size and his dainty little walk and his voice.
A regular remittance. You mean you have spent the 200?
Well, no, not all of it.
No.
I've still 40. I've 50 left, actually.
But you have your salary?
Not really. You see, I've sort of given up my job, and so I tend to be without any visible means of support.
Given up your job? Without ill feeling, I hope.
I'm sort of burnt my boats, really.
I see. Yes, it is clear that you need money. I'm sure we can come to some arrangement.
Yeah, I was thinking in terms of a regular weekly or monthly income until the legal business is sorted out.
A cigarette, Mr. Whistler?
Oh, thank you, yes.
I'm afraid I have a little shock for you.
Oh?
There is no legacy.
No legacy?
I'm afraid not.
But Uncle Bella...
He's alive and thriving in Vancouver, I dare say. Your cigarette on the carpet.
Yeah, sorry. I don't get it. What the hell is this? You gave me £200.
I lent you £200. Excuse me. Miss Vogler, ask Mr. Pavlika to step in, please, and bring the receipts relating to Mr. Whistler when you come.
What is going on, for God's sake? You were a solicitor, aren't you?
Once, but now I am but a humble moneylender.
I didn't want to borrow money.
This is Mr. Pavlika. He will explain why we want you to go to Prague.
What, Prague?
Dobry den, pan Whistler.
Dobry den.
This is a wonderful task you have undertaken, my young friend.
What task?
Mr. Pavlika is going a little too fast.
Yeah, I should damn well say so.
The receipts, Mr. Vowles.
Oh, thank you, Miss Vogler. Shut the door after you, please.
Yes, Mr. Vowles.
We have been looking for some time for a young man like yourself to go on a small mission for us.
Mm.
It is an unusual mission, although not at all dangerous.
Oh, good. Bloody good.
We realize some inducement would be necessary to persuade you we were serious. In your case, I thought it might be best to place you in our debt in some way and then offer you the opportunity of cancelling the debt whilst at the same time earning yourself a handsome fee.
I don't believe this.
But you must. I took the precaution of securing your signature to the standard loan certificate. Please show it to Mr. Whistler, Mr. Pavlika.
Crossing.
You will see that your motor car is down as part security. At a rather low figure, I'm afraid.
£50? You little crook, I'm getting out of here. Oh!
The Pavelka used to be a well-known amateur wrestler.
Champion of Western Bohemia.
He may be wrestling champion, but you let me out of here, and I am going straight to the police.
You are at perfect liberty to do so, but what will you tell them? You have no letter from me, have you?
Yes. Oh, no. No, you... I'll give it back.
The police, should you go to them, will tell you that I am a fairly well-known moneylender. They might think that having accepted a loan and rashly squandered it, you are now reluctant to meet your obligations.
What I don't understand is how did you get to know about my Uncle Biela and the fact that I had expectations there?
You have not exactly made a secret of these expectations.
Have you been spying on me?
Spying? Certainly not. Gathering information on you, that's all.
Why? I'm not cut out for this skullduggery.
You are exactly cut out for this particular mission. You have all of the qualifications.
I haven't any qualifications, Mr. Vowles. I'm not qualified to do anything. And I'm also a coward. I don't know what you want me to do, and I don't want to know, not in the least bit. And don't laugh, Mr. Pavelka. I'd be less than useless.
I like you. You look like your father. You have no memory, have you, of Pavelka Glass?
I know nothing of Pavelka Glass or of Czechoslovakia or...
Nobody has today. It was excellent glass. I had the best factory in Bohemia. I employed a research staff of 27...
I'm not really interested.
You are astonished, yes, 27. They did nothing but try and make unbreakable glass, not heavy... oven-proof or bullet-proof glass. That had been done, but table glass, as fine as anything in the complete range.
Please.
Now they have found out how to do it, and you are going to Prague to bring the formula back to me.
Mr. Pavelka, I don't believe this. This is incredible.
Yeah, incredible. But it is so. It has been done, and they will flood the world with it. That must not be so.
I don't know anything about glass. I only worked in an office. Mr. Vowles, I beg you, please, do explain to him.
You need have no fears, Mr. Whistler. It is the easiest job in the world. Uh-huh. You see, it was all a matter of finding someone with a legitimate reason for visiting the Bohemian glass factories. Someone the Czech authorities would not suspect. Who better than yourself? Mm-hmm. Your father is a well-known glassmaker and importer. Now you wish to start trading again.
Am I to buy the glass? Is that the idea?
No, it's not in production yet. You will simply bring back the formula.
And do you expect me to memorize it?
It will be on a piece of paper, some figures.
Which I will have to get, won't I? Can't you see? I'd be a weak link, and I'd be frightened out of my life. They couldn't help but suspect me. Can't you see? I'd wreck your chances.
It is very pleasing, is it not, Mr. Pavelka?
Yeah.
Look at him. I thought I was not mistaken the first time. He has modesty, circumspection, and a childish cunning.
Yeah, that's me, and I'm a coward.
I'm sure, Mr. Whistler, the Czechoslovak authorities will expect you to be as you are, a typical member of the capitalist class, such as your father was. And now to business.
But don't you
be quiet. That? Listen to what you are told, my young friend.
The moment you return with the formula, I will hand you the loan certificate and will pay you a further £200. Moreover, if you do not wish to return to your old
You job, can, of course, come and work for me.
How many days will I be away?
4 or 5, no more.
When you say someone will give me the formula...
It will come into your possession.
But how? How will that happen?
You must leave that to us. But rest assured, Mr. Whistler, it will be a simple operation.
Well, I'll think it over.
Of course. You have a few days to do so.
Thank you.
You will be leaving by plane at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning.
You will not let us down, I know that.
Here is my home number. Telephone me on Sunday, please.
Well, I'll have to phone from Bournemouth.
Bournemouth? Oh, ah, yes, your mother. Yes,
I promised to see her.
You must understand that the only possible danger to you is if you mention any of this to anyone. Anyone at all, which includes your mother. Forget everything we have spoken about here. Say you are going to Prague for Mr. Niemek. Do you understand?
Drunk your coffee.
Haven't I? Oh, sorry.
Don't say sorry to me. You're paying for it.
It's almost cold.
What is on your mind, Nicholas?
I'm going to be away for a few days, Moira.
Oh? Where are you going?
Well, Nimek is sending me to Prague.
Prague?
Yes, Prague.
It's the black business, isn't it? I mean, your father's old business?
Yes, but keep it to yourself, darling. It's all a bit hush-hush.
Of course. Oh, but Nicholas, you're trying. You've got him to give you this chance. I'm so pleased. You've changed, darling. I can see you're different. I can. And you'll pull it off because you've got the right attitude. I've complete faith in you, my darling.
I can remember staring at her while she went on, with the dull resignation of some elderly beast after an unsuccessful attempt with the humane killer. At Bournemouth, I had a puzzling conversation with Imre Gabriel.
I couldn't tell her about Biela and the money. Her health, you know, it didn't seem the right time. I'm sorry, I know I should have, but...
Oh, there's no harm done, Uncle Imre. Best say nothing for the moment.
But I decided to tell her some good news about you.
And what did you say?
I merely said that you had some success in business and you might be going abroad soon.
Did you? Abroad? Where?
I was going to work round to Canada and Biela, of course. But you see, she at once took it. You will be starting up your father's old business again in Prague.
I remember being perplexed, worried even. Prague, I thought. But then shrugged it off as a coincidence. And as it was seldom necessary to speak for the first 5 minutes in my mother's company, I soon forgot it. She was beautiful then, and had all her life, by the way, enjoyed perfect health. I stood looking at her with melancholy affection.
Of course, darling boy. I had not the slightest doubt that one day you would open the office again. Can you get the same building, do you think, on the Pishikopi? I used to look in every day on my way to take coffee at Vatsky's in the Vatslavsky Namyesty. They call it Wenceslas Square here, you know. There was a little lift with golden gates and such a darling old man who worked it. He had a fresh flower for me every day. And Nicholas, here, I've written you several letters of introduction to people who count. And, of course, to Hanna Shimkova. You remember Hanna?
I gave Mother's letters to Imre as I left, knowing that he destroyed the endless letters she endlessly wrote to the dead. I asked him, I remember, if Hanna, my old nanny, was dead, because for some reason I thought of her as still alive. He assured me she was not alive. On Monday, Vals presented me with a Nostrum guide to Czechoslovakia and explained.
It will be entirely natural for you to carry a Nostrum. It is the only up-to-date guide to Czechoslovakia. But you must always have it with you.
Take it to bed, you mean?
At night, place it somewhere safe. But never lose it. But for a short time, when you visit Zapotocki Glassworks, Mr. Pavelka's old factory. There you will leave it on the director's desk, as if you have forgotten it, while you visit the works. It will be given back to you before you leave.
With the formula in it?
All being well, yes. But do not look for it.
That's the last thing I'd want to do, believe me.
By 2 o'clock on the Tuesday afternoon, I was in Prague. I'd last seen it when I was 6, 18 years earlier. It had an enchantment for me, as if the streets, the monuments, church spires, set up a whispering in the mind of, do you remember? And I knew with dreamlike certainty what was round the next corner. I arrived at the hotel, the Slovenska, which was once the Vatsky, where Maminka drank coffee, in an elated mood. I stood outside the hotel and looked down the broad avenue. Despite its name, Wenceslas Square is not a square, to where the great statue of Wenceslas glittered from his iron horse. I found the hotel lobby full of open-shirted men in sandals and remember feeling overdressed. At the desk, a bun-faced woman, rather like Miss Vogler, looked me up and down.
I have a reservation. Whistler Nicholas.
Ah, yes, Pan Whistler. And there is a letter for you. Your room is quite ready, room 140. The porter will take your bags.
Thank you.
Bonnie's been to Prague before?
Not for a long time.
Oh, many changes. Once we used to be full of businessmen. Now we have officials. Officials of every kind. See for yourself. The lift will arrive in its own good time. Still, Prague's the same city. Still very beautiful.
The ancient porter was trying to tell me something, of course, and I was much too innocent to grasp that he was. Although I'd seen the two po-faced men, the only two wearing suits and long, pale Macintoshes. Once the porter had left, I opened the letter, which brought me back to Earth.
From L.V. Svoboda, the state glassport. Dear Pan Whistler, it is a privilege to welcome you to Prague. I enclose a booklet. A program is planned for your visit. Right. Tomorrow, Wednesday, discussions with... I see.
Ah, now Thursday, yes.
Zavatotsky Glassworks. An automobile will collect you at 1000 hours.
I'm learning the English, you see, and I wish to speak it with you now, Pan Whistler.
All right. You drive very well.
Oh, I'm a good motorist, yes?
You're a fast motorist, certainly. A good driver is the way we put it.
Good driver.
What's your name?
Vlasta Simenova.
How far is it to the Zavatotsky Works from here, Vlasta?
10 kilometers, perhaps.
Well, can you go slower, please?
Slower? Are you fearful of my speed, Pan Whistler?
Oh, my name is Nicholas, and no, I'm not afraid of your fast driving, but if you go slower, we can have more time to talk.
You are making a pass at me, I think. You are bad, Nicholas. But I will slow down, a little.
That's better. Do you drive for the State Glassworks Board?
No, I am employed by the Prague Central Business Board, and for them I do many jobs. But I like to drive best.
Very nice tan. How did you get it?
Tan? Oh, my brown color, yes. On my holiday, when I worked on a farm in the sunlight.
Did you enjoy that?
It was very steadfast and very boring. Do you travel around the world, Nicholas?
Well, now and again.
Do you like Prague?
Well, I've seen of it, yes. It's a beautiful city.
I hate it. It is boring. What is your hotel room like?
It's very large and decorated in green and gold. It has a double French window that leads onto a balcony, lots of cupboards, a bathroom, a shower. It's all very splendid.
Splendid, yes. Have you a large bed?
Yes, it's very large with curtains around it.
I would like such a bed.
If you dislike Prague, where would you sooner be?
Anywhere. London, New York, Paris. Where there is rock and roll. Have you done the rock and roll in London?
Oh, good Lord, no, it isn't my style.
Good Lord, it is not my style. What is style?
That's the way you do things, what you like doing.
I like doing many things. I like to have fun.
Would you like to have dinner with me, Blaster?
Yes, that would be fun. Thank you.
Tonight?
No, tonight is not possible. Tonight I go to evening classes for my English studies. Tomorrow I could come.
Tomorrow's fine. Tell me the best place to meet.
Vlasta Simenova. What a girl. About 6 foot of beauty, wonderful figure, corn blonde hair. But I should never have trusted her. The car turned into the Zapototsky Glassworks, and I was ushered into the presence of the director, Pan Galushka. His large office, where he sat behind a vast desk, bare, I recall, but for an ashtray and a diary. I pretended to know what he was talking about.
At any rate, you'll find only that our Pavelka glasses are better, and still the best.
Did you know Pan Pavelka?
Yes, when I was young. He's a good employer, but a paternalist. Because he was a capitalist.
Yes, he has a paternal attitude, and he's sure your glass isn't as fine as his.
Come and see for yourself, Pan Whistler. We make many kinds of glass, and we have many factories. This is the new continuous rolling machinery.
Yeah, so I see.
An English firm of St. Helens Lanks installed it.
They are rolling plate glass, are they?
Of course, Pan Whistler. The next shed is where we make the fine glass, table glass. It's not so noisy but hotter. Why is St. Helens Lanks so called? Do you know?
Yes, English place names are very confusing, I agree.
A strange country. Here, as you see, we are blowing what is still called Mary Gregory glass. A fine glass, but fragile.
Fine glass is fragile, unfortunately.
Unfortunately? The more which is broken, the more is needed.
Would an unbreakable glass ruin the market?
Unbreakable fine glass? It's an impossibility. And if it could be made by some miracle, the market wouldn't stand for it. In other words, it wouldn't even reach the market.
No, of course, it's a bit foolish for me to think of the idea.
We all have daydreams, Pan Whistler. The next shed is even hotter. There we carry out the annealing process. Colored and patterned glass is still in demand, Pan Whistler. Do you know when the process was invented?
In the 18th century, wasn't it?
Correct. It was called Bohemian crystal. Today there isn't much demand for such delicate work or colouring.
Those colours are very bright, aren't they?
Yeah, they are vulgar. We export it to the capitalist West.
I wonder what Pan Pavelka would think of it.
Well, it's his formula. He invented this way of annealing. I hope you have enjoyed your visit, Pan Whistler.
I have. It's been most informative, thank you.
Yeah. And now the beautiful chauffeurs will take you back to Prague, hmm?
Yes, she is beautiful, but rather tall. where did I...
What's the matter? Are you looking for something?
Yes, I seem to have left my Nordstrom somewhere.
Yeah, I thought you left it on my desk before we went on our tour.
Yes, I remember putting it down.
Well, it isn't there now. Let's hope my assistant has taken care of it. Stepka! Stepka!
Yes, Pangaluska?
Did you find Pan Whistler's guidebook by any chance?
Yes, I have it here. I thought it must have been Pan Whistler's.
Ah, thank you.
The Nordstrand is very valuable to a visitor to Czechoslovakia. Don't you agree, Stefka?
I do, Director. So Pan Whistler must not leave it about in future, I think.
No, I won't. I'll hang on tight to it.
Back in my hotel room, I examined the Nordstrand, which appeared to be untouched. I thought vaguely for a moment about the conversation with Director Galushka on unbreakable fine glass and wondered if he was right to dismiss the idea out of hand, although in my dim way I saw his point about it ruining the market. I visited another glassworks on Friday, and in the evening, my last in Prague, I met Vlasta as arranged. After dinner she took me to a small, staid night spot. At her insistence we spoke English.
Is it here like a London nightclub, Nicholas?
Not really. Although I've only been to one London nightclub, Vlasta.
What was its name?
It's called the Coconut Grove. I went once.
The Coconut Grove? Why the Coconut Grove?
Well, it's meant to be a South Sea island, so it's decorated with dusky maidens, girls, coconut trees, blue sea, and beach.
This place is not so good, is it?
It's very nice. I like it. Tell me about yourself, Vlasta.
About myself. I'm 20, and I live with my father. Papa, do you say?
Yes, Papa. Or Dad? Daddy?
We say Dada. My mother is dead. Long. Dad is a musician. We live at Borondov, which is a small way down to the river.
And you like rock and roll, I don't know. Do you like, other dances?
I like all dancing. I would have been a dancer with the ballet, but I growed too much.
Like Topsy.
Topsy? What is a Topsy, please?
Well, Topsy was a girl, sort of, who said she growed too much when she should have said she grew.
So grew, not growed. Mm. I see. It is an English joke, yes?
Well, no, they're not exactly jokes. It's hard to explain English jokes in particular, is it?
Yes, but they do have to learn the language. Thank you.
Yes, jokes do that, if there's pillow talk also.
Pillow talk? To learn the language?
It's an English saying.
A pillow I know of. It is for the head in bed.
Yes, that's it.
So you mean when people are in bed together, they learn the language.
Yes. Perhaps I shouldn't have mentioned it.
No, it should have been mentioned. The language of love, is it not?
Yes, the language of love.
So, should we talk of love? Yes?
If you wish.
You have had many mistresses?
No, not many.
How few, then?
A few. I've never counted. I don't know, really.
And do you have a wife also?
No, I'm not married.
But you have a female friend, yes?
A girlfriend? No, I've no particular girlfriend.
Please, particular.
Not just one, I've a number of friends.
A number of girlfriends? A few, mistresses?
I don't think I've explained myself very well.
Perhaps you do not tell me the truth, little merchant.
I always tell the truth, Lester.
It does not matter. Will you dance with me?
I'll do my best.
You dance very well, Vasta.
I like dancing, little merchant. And now I sit with you, and I am sad.
Sad? Why? Do I make you sad?
No. Yes, you make me sad because you go tomorrow.
Yeah, but I expect to be back again soon.
No. Why will you come back? I wish I could live here as well.
Well, have you ever been abroad, away from Czechoslovakia?
I once went to Hungary, but it was the same as here.
Ah, but I think this is a very lovely country. Prague is wonderful.
In summer it is hot and we have many storms. In winter it is very cold, frozen with snow. I think we shall have storm tonight.
I hope not. Do you know about the English weather?
Yes. You call it a nice weather for that.
Shall we dance?
No. You will see me home, please.
Yes, of course. Will your father be waiting for you?
No, he plays at a concert at Pilsen.
A good show. When will he be back?
Very late. Perhaps not at all.
Ah, then I drink to the concert at Pilsen. May it go on forever.
I think you're a very wicked man, Nicholas.
Oh, now don't scream till you're hurt.
I never scream, little merchant. Do you hear that? I think it will soon storm.
Yes, I can hear it. It's become very humid.
Humid? What is that?
Hot and sticky.
Ah, sticky. See how black is the sky? It will empty its bucket.
How far have we to go?
3 minutes if we walk with speed.
Ah, oh, good grief, it's a deluge!
Oh, we must run for home, run!
We got to her cottage, a large one, I remember, absolutely soaked. We had to remove our garments. She lent me her father's dressing gown. She was sure he wouldn't return in such a storm, she said, and took her dressing gown off. A night to remember. But I shouldn't have trusted her. Somehow, clutching the Nordstrand, I staggered on the plane to London in the morning, exhausted. And so, 5 days after leaving and 10 hours since parting from the beautiful giantess of Borondorf, I was back in my Fitzwater Square lodgings.
Hello, dear. Back already? You're just in time for tea.
Thanks, Mrs. Nairn.
Brought her a nice book from Prague, have you?
This is a guidebook. Who do you mean?
Your young lady, Mr. Whistler. Who else? She's been ringing every day. She's not forgotten you.
Oh, Maura. Did she leave any message or...
Only for you to get in touch with her when you arrived.
Maura, I remember deciding, had to wait until the embraces of Luster were not so memorable. And there was Bowles to phone. Mission successful, I said, and went to see him.
You see, I told you how easy it would be.
Well, I'm thankful, nevertheless, to hand the Nordstrand back to you.
Now we still have a little business to transact.
No, business?
Don't you remember? Here we have your reward. £200 and the two copies of the loan agreement.
Yes, of course, thanks.
But no hard feelings, I hope, Mr. Wissler?
No, none at all. When do I get to see Mr. Pavlka, do you think?
Soon. He's at present looking for a factory.
He did mention a job, you remember.
Once he's back, I'll let you know. He will keep his promise, never fear.
Before I go, there's just one question. The person who's been watching me, can you tell me who it is now?
I'm afraid no. Not yet, that is.
Well, is it my girlfriend, Miss Regan?
Girlfriend? Oh, dear me, no. I can assure you it isn't. I wouldn't want to interfere with your love life. Oh, dear me, no.
I didn't question him further. The £200 turned my head. As I've said, it seemed a vast amount of money in 1954. And since Vowles had cleared Mora, romance and more was in the air.
Darling, I've been thinking.
Have you?
It's a lovely evening.
You've been thinking that it's a lovely evening?
Yeah, well it is. But not that, no. It's only now. I mean, I'm beginning to get somewhere. I mean, that the future and all that looks positively rosy, if you see what I mean. And, there's you. And there's me.
If I didn't know you haven't had a drink, I'd swear you were tiddly.
No, I'm not tiddly. See, the thing is, would you consider... Would you?
Would I consider what, Nicholas?
Consider marrying me.
Consider marrying you?
Yes.
Yes. I'll consider it.
Is it? It's just that I'd like to marry you.
Would you now?
Maura, I'm serious. Would you marry me?
Darling Nicholas, of course I'd marry you.
You would?
I will marry you. I will, Nicholas.
Thank the Lord. Oh, I do love you, Maura.
I love you, Nicholas.
I feel like standing on my head. I must tell Maminka.
Stand on your head first. And I must meet your Maminka.
Well, the sooner the better. We'll drive to Bournemouth on Sunday. I'll ring Uncle Imre tomorrow to warn him.
Why do fools fall in love? Why do birds sing so gay? And love is the way to break the day. Why do they fall in love?
You haven't told Maminka about Biela and the money yet, have you, Uncle?
No. I've been waiting for the right moment. The heat is not good for her. It's very hot here in the sun.
Don't bother to tell her just yet. I'll explain when I see you.
See me? Yes, are you coming down?
On Sunday. I've someone I want to introduce to Maminka. Are you still there, Uncle?
Someone? Who is this someone?
You'll find out on Sunday.
Looking back, it's so obvious that Uncle Imre was in Vowell's pocket, but I never suspected until the end. He was old Uncle Imre Gabriel, a harmless, sweet old idiot to me. But I never got to Bournemouth that Sunday. Before then, Vowles left a message for me to call at his office to see Mr. Pavlka at 11 sharp. I breezed in, full of myself.
Good morning, Mr. Vowles. Mr. Pavlka, morning.
Yeah, good morning. A cigarette, Mr. Whistler?
Just the thing, thank you.
I will come right to the point, Mr. Whistler. The formula you brought back is incomplete.
Incomplete?
See, my young friend, this lump of glass was made from that formula. Look at it.
Well, it's not very pretty, is it?
It is cabbage green, which you cannot see through.
But is it unbreakable?
I could not break it with a hammer. But tell me, who wants table glass which is a bad green and is as thick as a beer bottle? Mr. Pavlka feels that the only explanation is that the formula was written in a hurry. There are inconsistencies to it which puzzle his chemist. Too much iron oxide, he said, for one problem. That Golombek is an idiot, a bloody idiot. When you go back, you will take from me a personal letter.
But wait a jiff. Who the hell is Golombek? And when I do what?
When you return to Prague, Mr. Whistler, to the Zapotocki works, to collect the new correct formula.
But you don't know what you're asking. I couldn't. It's not on.
Mr. Whistler, it will be just as simple as before.
But it won't be. I felt that Director Galushka was suspicious.
Galushka? What has Galushka to do with it?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. I omitted what you told me about Galushka, Mr. Whistler. I should have warned you.
I sacked Galushka years ago.
Well, he runs the factory now, Mr. Pavelka. He's director Galushka, and he's a very sharp man.
That agitator runs my factory? Hoya Roshem Egemeg. You told me Golombek, Mr. Val.
I assure you, Golombek is our man.
I never met a Golombek.
Exactly. You weren't meant to. He's a research man. Now, please, Mr. Pavelka, let us keep to the matter at hand. That bloody Galushka. Don't you see, Mr. Whistler, it is natural for you to return urgently after discussions with your directors. From what you told me, they expect you to do so.
Yeah, all right, but if I go, what do I talk about? I was out of my depth several times as it was. I know damn little about glass.
You will be adequately briefed, I assure you.
I hope so. I'll need to be, Mr. Vowles. Last time
Last time was not your fault. You did the job you were asked to. You did it very well. Don't you agree, Mr. Pavelka?
Yeah. You are our man in Prague now, my young friend.
Am I? Oh, suppose so. But what do I have to do this time?
We must keep things simple as before, I think.
Good. Simple is the thing. Shall I use the Nordstrand as before?
Why not? They will not be surprised that you're carrying it.
But can I leave it on Galushka's desk again? Surely not. I mean, I can't pretend to forget it again, can I?
No. This time you must ask to leave it while you see the words.
Perhaps you make a joke about not forgetting it again.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Pavelka. A good idea.
If I ask to leave it and make a joke, all right, I'll do my best.
This time I will arrange that you see one of these special processes. Something that will take half an hour, say.
A special process? Sounds all right. When do I leave?
I spent a dreadful day yesterday rushing about expediting things. You will leave on Friday, visit the factory on Saturday, back here on Sunday. Another 200 will await you.
The thought of another 200, and I threw discretion to the winds. Now I look back, I wonder why I didn't find it unusual, to say the least, that this midget moneylender was rushing around expediting things. With whom? But such questions never entered my young head, so I told Maura we'd have to postpone the visit to Maminka, as it was back to Prague for the weekend. Maura came to see me off by coach to Heathrow from the long-since-disappeared Cromwell Road reception centre.
I'll be damned.
William, why?
There's Miss Vogler.
Who's she?
She's Val's secretary.
She looks pretty grim. Val's? Who's Val's, Nicholas?
Oh, he's a midget moneylender.
Are you joking?
No, he's a midget and he's a moneylender.
What has he to do with you?
It's all a bit hush-hush, darling.
What has he to do with your going to Prague?
Look, it's a long story and I can't say now.
You're not in some sort of trouble over money, are you?
No, Val's is Nemec's problem.
Then why is Grimface over there?
Well, to see that I leave, I suppose.
Moneylenders, midgets, grim-faced secretaries, all hush-hush. You're not spying, are you?
Flight 28 to Prague. All aboard the coach, please.
Look, I must go. Spying? Of course not. Can you see me doing that?
I hope you know what you're doing, Nicholas.
Yes, I do. And when I get back, I'll tell you everything.
I'll hold you to that. Here. I bought you a travelling present.
Oh, thank you, darling. What is it?
Something to help you find your way around.
All aboard!
I've got to go, darling. I'll see you on Sunday about 8.
Goodbye, Nicholas. Take care.
It wasn't until we were at the Chiswick roundabout that I unwrapped Maura's present. It was a brand new Nordstrand. In my case, on the rack above my head, was Vowell's brand new Nordstrand. I tried leaving Maura's copy on the coach when we got off, but it was returned to me by a friendly American. In Prague, they gave me the same room in the same hotel as before, with the same floor porter waiting for me.
What a pleasure to have you back, Tom, was that?
Thank you, Joseph. It's a pleasure to be here.
We didn't hope for you to return so quickly.
Well, I didn't expect to, but for once, things went fast.
Barney thinks trade's beginning to move.
I hope so, Joseph.
Oh, that is good news. Now, can I bring you something, partner?
A beer would be fine.
After the beer and a shower, I went out on the balcony and looked up along the broad avenue to where Wenceslas sat on his horse. The crowds beneath me steamed in the heat. Trams clanged up and down. A few cars went slowly through the mass of people. All Prague seemed to be on the street.
At Bodistrova Junction, a vast poster of Lenin stared down from its high perch. Near Wenceslas' statue, wooden stands were being put up, and I recall wondering why. But I felt, above all, quite at home, not concerned about danger. There was only the complication of the two nostrums. I left the balcony, took the two books out and put them on the table, examined them.
Right, Moore's is a 1950 edition, Fowle's 1953. And shut, they're exactly the same. All right, mark Fowle's in some way. Now, where's my pen? Damn! Books, mark them first. Mark just one, you damn fool. Put a dot in the right-hand corner of Fowle's. Right. Now answer the bloody phone. Hello? Yes? Oh, yes. A car at nine tomorrow. Good, good. No, straight to the Zapotocky Works, please. Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, what the hell? Just a moment. Hide them, hide them. Mora's in raincoat pocket. Vowels back in the case. Come in. Oh, it's you, Joseph. I was on the phone.
I wondered if the party would require another beer.
Oh, no, not a present, thanks. Oh. And Joseph, I've been out on the balcony. Why are they building stands?
Oh, big parade on Sunday.
What parade?
We'll celebrate the founding of our socialist state party. We have the parade on this Sunday each year. They say this one will be the largest so far.
And will Prague be even more crowded on Sunday? It's pretty packed now.
All very crowded, Barney. You should stay and see the parade.
Well, I wish I could, but my flight is booked for 2 p.m. I hope the car will be able to get through the crowds.
This time the car which took me to the Zapotocky Works was not driven by Vlasta. I remember being relieved and annoyed at this. At the glass factory, I was shown some process or another, I've forgotten what it was, left my Nostrund in Galushka's office and collected it from where I left on his desk when I left. As Valge had said, once you stop worrying, there was nothing to it. Back at the hotel, my room was stifling. I opened the balcony windows. Noise drifted in, now reinforced by military music from the loudspeakers which lined the square.
I've brought you your iced pilsner, Palmwhistler.
Thank you, Joseph.
Are you going to rest, Palmer?
Oh, if I can, with that row out there.
Oh, testing the loudspeakers, Palmer.
Will you give me a call at 5:30, please?
Certainly, Palmer. Oh, do drink the pilsner while it's cold.
Yeah, I will, Joseph, thank you.
Oh,
awful strong export stuff. Horrible. I'd better pretend I've drunk it for Joseph's sake.
I'll try to remember clearly the sequence of things that followed. I emptied the beer down the wash basin, brought the empty glass back so it looked as if I'd drunk the stuff.
Blimey, I feel sleepy.
I felt heavy-lidded. Closed my eyes. I must have dozed off for a few minutes. In this half-sleep, I heard a tap on the door, and then it opened.
Are you asleep, Barney? Drunk your pills, huh?
I didn't want to talk, so feigned sleep. I heard him sniffing the glass. Then he moved away. I opened my eyes and slit. He shut the windows. The room became very quiet. Then he began searching the room. I remember thinking,
God, the beer was drugged. That's why it tasted so vile.
Where's his briefcase? Wardrobe. Suitcase. Yeah, nothing there.
The briefcase was under the coverlet by my side. I lay watching him. He was talking to himself.
Where is it, Barney? Wake up.
I saw him put his hand in a pocket and withdraw it, holding the Nostrand. Maura's Nostrand, I thought.
Let's see if there was nothing.
I couldn't see exactly what he was doing, but it looked as if he was cutting the Nostrand carefully. I lifted my head a fraction, and in doing so coughed, half-vomiting the beer as it rose in my throat. Joseph swung round, and in doing so dropped the Nostrand.
Oh, you're woken up, Barney. Good sleep.
Yes, how long have I slept?
Ooh, half an hour, Pan. It's 4:30. Oh, I came in to shout the winner. Noise is worse than ever. Shall I put your raincoat in the wardrobe?
No, it's fine there, thank you.
Oh, this book must have been in the pocket, Pan.
It's my Nordstrand. Put it on the table, please. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll leave you to wake up, Pan. Ring when you'd like some tea.
Thank you, Joseph.
He went out of the room fast. I was as frightened as a young man could be, but also perplexed. I got up and examined the book. He'd sliced off the shaving of the spine. I poked my little finger inside the gap. There was a loose sleeve of cambric and something else. I edged it out. A corner of rice paper showed.
Is this the formula? No, it can't be. It's not the Nordstrand I took with me. This is Moore's copy, isn't it? No, it's the 1953 edition. Vowels. I put the dot on the wrong one when I knocked the bloody books on the floor. But the formula. Was Joseph putting it in the spine? What's written on it? Oh, hieroglyphics to me. Mathematical equation, I suppose. Top line seems in the clear. Let's read. Amend Aldermaston 8... Third stage, Banshee, as follows. What does that mean? Aldermaston, Banshee, nuclear weapons. No. Oh, Lord, no.
I felt sick. I can still feel the panic as it dawned on me. I wasn't being employed to bring a formula for unbreakable table glass out of Czechoslovakia, but to bring a formula from England into Czechoslovakia. A formula concerning nuclear weapons, bombs, I didn't know what, but something so secret people would die for it. I was caught up in the spying business. I sat on the edge of the bed and tried to think.
They couldn't find the formula at the Zapotocky Works, so Joseph was asked to check. Joseph, who is not just a porter. And he finds the Nordstrand I should have been carrying, and a fool drops it. Oh, what shall I do with this piece of rice paper? I know.
I screwed up the rice paper into a small ball and flushed it down the loo. Then I wondered if I'd done the right thing. I don't remember whether my brain was racing in the heroic tradition, but I did guess that my best next step was to ring the British Embassy. I found their number in the phone book in the hotel foyer, along with the phone booths.
Six, one, four. Come on.
Hello, British Embassy.
Hello, my name's Nicholas Whistler. I'm a British citizen. I must get to the embassy. How do I get there?
Depends where you are, sir.
At the Slovenska Hotel.
Oh, I know it, sir. You take a 5 or 9 tram over the river. Change at the first stop, the Uyetsk, that is, and take a 12 tram to Malostranski Namnesti. We're at the Tunovska.
Right, got that. I'll be along right away.
No, don't do that, sir. It's Saturday evening. I'm the caretaker. Everyone's gone. I can't let you in.
I'm in deadly danger. I need protection.
Tomorrow's Sunday, sir. We're shut on a Sunday. Come on Monday, about 10:30.
No, but you don't understand. I'm in deadly danger. The secret police
are... an open line, sir. Now, keep a cool head. Bring your passport, 10:30, Monday morning, sir.
I'm blast.
Hello, little Merton.
Vlasta, good Lord. What a coincidence.
Yes. Tell me, when did you arrive in Prague?
I arrived yesterday afternoon from London. I
hope you are going to get in touch with me.
Yes, of course, if I could. I fly back tomorrow, you see.
So soon. Are you feeling all right?
Yeah, of course. That's the plan. I fly back tomorrow. What are you doing here?
My job, little merchant, waiting for my passenger to drive him somewhere. But you sound so upset.
Ah, good Lord, no, I was about to have a stroll, so...
Are you sure it will calm your nerves?
Oh, I've only been rushing about a great deal. I say, could we meet tonight, perhaps?
Perhaps. Ring me this evening. 77234. Can you remember that?
77234, this evening. You'll be there.
I think so. Oh, there is my passenger. Be good, little merchant.
Meeting Vlasta made me feel better, young fool that I was. I took a tram to the old town, walked around for a while, then went into a cafe and tried to sort things out with the aid of a vodka.
A vodka, Pani. Some water?
Thank you, yes. So why drug me? Pity they didn't succeed, none of this then. Why not arrest me, find the right Nordstrand, find the formula, say arresting me was a mistake and let me go? Did they think I was a double agent, that I didn't bring the formula? No, they knew I had the formula, Joseph found it. But two Nordstrands didn't help. So now they'll probably be looking at both of the guides and no formula in either, so they'll reckon that I have it, must have taken it, and will try to pass it back to the embassy. Will they believe that in panic I flushed it down the WC? No, they'll think I've passed it on to someone this afternoon. Hell's bells, I've done it all wrong.
I walked slowly back through the packed streets with the loudspeakers booming out waltzes. I didn't feel like waltzing. In the hotel lift, I was joined by a man wearing the long, standard, pale-coloured Macintosh. He seemed furtive in some way. He got out at my floor and walked quickly to the door of the room two before mine. It was open. He went in. I heard a girl laugh. Joseph was standing outside my door. It was open. I went in. Joseph shut the door firmly behind me. There were two of them waiting for me. One was a big man, the other smaller. They wore the usual long, pale raincoats, unbuttoned in this case.
Van Whistler?
Nicholas?
Yes, that's me. What can I do for you?
We must ask you some questions.
Look here, who are you?
SNB, State Security Police.
We have been waiting a long time for your return, Pan Whistler.
It's not my fault. I didn't know you were here.
As you see, we have found both your Nordstrands.
Two different editions, Pan Whistler?
Yes, one was given me by a man called Vowles. That's the 1953 edition. The 1950 edition was given me by my girlfriend.
Where have you been, Pan Whistler?
For a walk. Quiet drink.
Where did you walk?
Oh, I took a tram into the old town, walked around for half an hour, had a drink at a cafe, and took a tram back.
Why did you go for this walk?
Oh, I wanted some fresh air. I often walk in London. We all do.
Did you meet anyone?
No, of course not. I don't know anybody in Prague.
Did you speak to anyone in the cafe?
Oh, only to the waiter to order a vodka.
You're not frightened of us, are you, Pan Whistler?
No, I don't think so. Why should I be?
I don't know.
You've broken my nose.
No. Not that time.
Stop it, for God's sake. What do you want?
My friend's only trying to help. Now listen to me.
I'm a British citizen. You can't...
Shall I break your nose, Pan Whistler?
No. What's this about? I don't understand.
You know very well what this is about. And we know you're playing for time. So you may be able to think up the sort of lie which might satisfy us. We know you found the rice paper in the Nordstrand, because it was there when the man you know as Joseph found it. Only you woke up too soon.
I wish to hell I hadn't.
It would have been better, but you did wake up, and you saw Joseph with the Nordstrand. You took the rice paper, you saw what was on it, and you went somewhere, and you gave the paper to someone. Who this person is, we don't know, but we shall get you to tell us.
I met no one.
Perhaps you have the paper still on you.
No, I posted it.
Posted it?
Yes, I posted it.
Posted it? To whom, Pan Whistler?
To the man who sent me here, Vowles, in London.
It didn't occur to you to destroy it.
Well, why should I? It's a formula for unbreakable table glass, that's all.
A formula for what?
Fine glass is unbreakable. Of course, Vowles was having me smuggle the formula out.
Is that what you believe?
That was what I was told in London.
You're either very stupid or very clever, Pan Whistler.
If you posted it, we can intercept it. Then we shall know if you are stupid or clever.
Or telling the truth. Which, for your sake, I hope you are. You must come with us. It's raining out. Take your raincoat.
Right you are.
I can't think how I found the carriage, but I threw my raincoat over their heads. They were standing side by side. I cracked the two heads together, turned out the light, threw open the balcony door, slipped into the bathroom and hid behind the bath. It was done in seconds.
Oh, the bastard! The English bastard! Put the bloody light! Will I get him? I'll break his freaking neck!
If he went out the door, Joseph would have got him. Joseph, did you get him?
He come this way. He couldn't have. You let him escape.
And you said he was harmless.
He must have gone over the balcony.
To the next balcony. There's a fire escape there.
Right, downstairs. You stay here, Joseph. He'll have to come back for his passport and wallet.
The bloody English!
You better find him!
Or we'll be sent to Chesky Booty Overtree to chop down trees.
My luck held out. Behind the bath, I found a length of lead piping.
Joseph was standing with his back to me, facing the open window.
Oh! Look, I hope I haven't killed you, but I want your porter's uniform, Joseph.
The uniform was a bit large, but it did. I took my wallet and passport and went into the corridor. I needed a standard type raincoat. My own was too distinctive. I recalled the man who went into the room two from mine wearing one. The door to that room was ajar.
Excuse me. Oh, I say.
Yes, darling.
Do you always go around without a stitch on?
Oh, sometimes it's more convenient, darling. What can I do for you?
I want his raincoat. Do you mind?
Is that all?
Sorry, yes.
You're no porter, are you?
Don't ask questions.
It fits you. And what do I tell the owner when he comes out of the bathroom?
Tell him a policeman took it. Don't catch cold.
I bolted down the back stairs and went out through the staff door. There was a policeman on guard there already.
Sorry, comrade. No one is to leave.
They've sent me to get something from the chemist to pull him round. They've nabbed him. I'm the floor porter on his floor. Well, ring up and ask them if you like.
All right, but you stay here.
A trusting soul. I ran down the little alley into the square and jumped on a tram. I sat in it, wondering what to do next, not having a clue.
Hold on.
What's up?
See for yourself. The bloody SNB, they've stopped every tram. If you're in a hurry, I'd get off and walk.
Thanks, I'm in a hurry, all right.
Ahead of me, the line of trams had the Staatne Narodne Bezpečnost, the SNB, in pairs going through them looking at everyone's papers. They hadn't wasted much time. I stood there at the square's north end looking down the Wenceslas statue through the mass of people, wondering what the hell to do next. The rain had stopped. I unbuttoned my stolen raincoat. The loudspeakers were now playing folk music. A band of youngsters swept up to me.
Hello, look at him.
He's got his big brother's uniform on.
What's he doing out this time of night?
I'm waiting for someone. Go away.
And the club is going to your uniform. You're a pauper there.
No, I'm an SNB man in disguise.
Paul, look out. You can't make fun of our Greek security police.
Because they don't exist.
No, thanks for letting you out of the hotel in the wrong uniform. It's smart, but it's a size or two too large.
Well, they didn't have a uniform to fit me. I'm going to just join the staff.
Are you waiting for someone?
I said I was, didn't I? I bet it's your girlfriend. And I bet she's a chambermaid at the Florence. She's one of the guests. That's why we have to meet like this. Go away.
Guests? The hotel is full of tarts and foreigners.
Well, she's a foreigner, of course. Now, go away.
What about the Englishman at the hotel? The one who's killed the two SNB men?
Well, where did you hear that nonsense?
It's all over the square. That's why the SNB are all over the place.
Let's look at them. And they've sealed off all the nine side streets, so something must have happened at your hotel.
Well, I heard a sort of commotion as I came out, that's all.
That must have been the murderer getting away.
So look out, there's a murderer among us. Are you coming with us, Porter?
No, I've told you, I am
waiting for my girlfriend.
I've nowhere to go. I couldn't just stand still, as if waiting for a girlfriend. So I trudged up and down Wenceslas Square for what seemed an eternity. And then as the crowds began to thin out, the SNB became more in evidence. Lookalikes in long, pale yellow raincoats and grey hats. I buttoned up my raincoat and walked behind two SNB men.
Bloody music's finished for the night, thank Lenin. Yes. What's the latest? Did they give out anything useful?
Oh, no. They're sure he's wearing a porter's uniform.
Well, it's just on 11. By midnight, he'll be the last idiot out and about, walking up and down in his porter's outfit.
Oh, you remember that film, Charlie Chaplin? Mm. When he was dressed as a waiter, walking up and down all by himself.
I went the other way. They were too near the knuckle. Except for the fact that I'd probably dropped from exhaustion before midnight. The square was lined with shops and imposing buildings. I wondered if I could climb into a window or find an open door, anything, anywhere, to collapse and hide. I tried a number of doors without any luck. And then, not believing my own eyes, I saw an open door to the side of a menswear shop. I went in. It was pitch dark. I seemed to be in a corridor. A few yards ahead, I heard two voices and froze.
on, Paula. I've opened the door.
Come in, come in. Hungry dog, where are you?
Here, in the corridor.
Those tailor's dummies give you the creeps.
Yeah, there's one just ahead of you, so don't get a shock.
So there is.
No, much about, except for the SMB.
Don't bother with a bit of breaking and entering. It's below their dignity.
Right, let's beat it.
The door office.
I was so rigid with fear that I suppose I was as still as a tailor's dummy. The corridor led to the back of the shop, which must have been the cutting room. There were some peasant costumes left in a heap, and the wall safe was wide open and empty. The street lights coming through the shop window gave some illumination. I saw two figures stop in front of the window, so I crept through the shop to hear their conversation.
Midnight in 10 minutes. Then we do a sweep of the square.
If that doesn't fill him up, maybe he's being helped.
Oh, and we'll do a dusting like that.
Yeah. The peasant costumes reminded me that tomorrow was fancy dress, as it were, the big parade. There was a kitchen behind the cutting room where I found some bread and beer. I slept for a few hours on a lumpy sofa. The first light found a costume that more or less fitted. Some oversized, heavy boots and a dreadful little hat. I reckoned that the shopkeeper wouldn't turn up on a Sunday, so waited for the square to fill up a bit and went out and joined the other phony peasants.
Comrade peasants! We form up by the statue of Wenceslas!
Doing that wouldn't help me get to the embassy, so I got on a tram that took me across the river to the park, which ran along the river bank in front of the embassy. I noticed as we went through the square that there seemed to be no SNB about.
We're coming to the areas, Sop.
Thanks very much.
Where do you come from, lad?
Where? Treblich. Have a big glassworks at Treblich.
A big glassworks? Well, I never.
Hello, what's up? Look at them swarming all over the place.
Mr. Wretched SNB, you'd better have your papers ready, my lad.
Papers? I've left them at home at Treblich.
Oh?
The SNB, of course, had reckoned that I'd try for the embassy, and no doubt they knew it was shut on a Sunday, so I wouldn't get in. Wearing my village idiot face, I went as near the building as I dared, noticing that there was a milk depot about 300 yards away. This lodged in my memory, as if the self-preservation instinct was unconsciously at work. By now I could hear the parade in full swing.
Nicholas? Nicholas! Nicholas, stop!
Vasta, how did you know I was here?
I did, and I was on my way to the parade. Why are you dressed as a peasant?
Because I'm on the run.
You're not wearing that hat correctly. It should be on one side. So.
Thank you, yes. Listen, I was going to ring you.
And I'm here. It is fate, little Merton. I often walk into the square this way, so fate put you here. Oh, the bolero, I think it's too tight.
Well, I had to make do with what I could find in the shop.
In the shop?
Oh, it's a long story. Listen, can you help me?
It depends what trouble you are in, little Merton.
Well, take me back to your place, please. I can tell you there. Or is your father there? And,
he's away until Wednesday. All right, I'll take you home with me.
Now. Come and sit beside me, little Merton.
Oh, I'm exhausted, Vasta.
And do take that silly hat off.
Oh, I forgot I had it on.
Now, explain to me. Why are you disguised as a peasant? What is it you have done? Is it something against the state?
In a way, yes, but I never meant it to be. It's also against my country, but I didn't know. So I thought I was to be secretly given a formula for some sort of glass.
Oh, yes. When you went to the Zapotovsky glass...
No, that's where it all happened, but only not as they said. I was carrying a very secret formula in my Nordstrand, secretly.
Was this for some glass also?
No, it was a British state secret, a formula about atomic things, nuclear power and so on, I think.
But you don't know for sure.
Oh, I found it by mistake, really. I had a quick look.
Have you still got it?
No, I destroyed it.
Destroyed it? How?
I flashed it down the loo. But your secret police don't believe that. They think I've passed it on to someone. They know it's not on me, and so they're after me. Now I'm trying to get to my embassy where I'll be safe. Do you understand what I'm saying?
If the SNB is after you, that is bad. Bad for my father and myself also.
Yeah, no. That's why they mustn't know I'm here. They want that formula and I can't give it them.
Oh, I must answer that. Blaster here. Yes, I got back quite safely. Thank you. No, there was no problem. Yes, I have the car here. Yes, it was very easy trip. I'll ring you tomorrow as usual. Thank you. Goodbye. That was my boss.
So, what do I do?
To get into your embassy, you mean?
Oh, I've no plan. The SNB are all around it.
I sometimes drive people to the British embassy, you know?
Well, I didn't know, but of course you would, yes.
Perhaps I could hide you in the car.
In the boot, perhaps? Oh, Vlasta, darling.
Oh, I think, Nicholas, that to get this formula, they'll kill you.
Well, that won't get them the formula, will it?
I know, but they'll only kill you after you told them where it is.
Yeah, but if I can't tell them, and if I can make them believe I have destroyed the damn thing...
Oh, are you sure, Nicholas? Are you sure you don't have it? Maybe you gave it to someone. Maybe you gave it to your nanny, Hannah. Oh, no, she's dead. Maybe to her husband. No, you wouldn't trust him, oh, Nicholas. I know. Let me take the formula to the embassy for you. Why not? And then your people say, we have the paper, so you must let Pan Whistler return home. Oh, I can't bear to think of you in danger. In this terrible country, little merchant. Let me take this thing for you.
So it went on. Did I have the formula hidden somewhere in one manner or another? No matter how I protested, I destroyed the blasted thing. I got some sleep and woke around dawn from a vivid dream, which in some surreal way concerned my old nanny making rice pudding. I lay half awake, I recall, the beautiful giantess sleeping deeply beside me. And as I watched her, I heard her words of the day before. There was your nanny, Hannah, but she's dead. And I grew cold. I'd never mentioned my nanny to Vlaster, never. Everything then dropped dreadfully into place. Bumping into her in the hotel foyer, seeing me in the park, this large cottage when living space in Prague was at a premium. The father who was never there, the phone call. I got back safely, had the car, very easy trip, and her insistence that the formula was hidden somewhere or with someone. I said I'd post it. Of course it had never turned up at the sorting office. So where was it? Vlaster was their last chance. No doubt her father was SNB, as was his daughter. Outside I heard the milkman, his horse plodding slowly behind him. Two crazy inspirations came into my mind.
So you are awake, Nicholas?
Yes, I had a bad dream, weren't we?
A bad dream? Why was that?
Probably because I have a bad conscience.
Bad conscience? About what? Come and tell you, Vlad.
About the formula. I lied. It is hidden.
You see, I knew.
Now, if I collect it, will you take me to the embassy?
Of course, my little merchant. I have the car outside.
But, what am I going to wear?
I'll give you some of my father's clothes. They'll fit you. Where do we have to go, darling Nicholas? Come give me a hug. I love you so.
I hid it across the road in the milk depot. It was as near to the embassy as I could get. I put it in an empty bottle and hid it where the lorries were parked.
Are you sure no one saw you?
Well, they took no notice of me. I was an idiot peasant lad come to look at the great big lorries.
That was clever, but now what would you do?
Well, the only thing I can do, go into the depot casually, find the bottle, smuggle it out. They're busy. No one will notice me.
I'll be waiting for you. Good luck.
Right. Here goes. Now walk across casually.
Well done, little merchant. The English stiff upper lip. And in you go. Good.
What's going on?
Vaclav, he's in the depot.
What's he doing there?
He hid the formula there yesterday, as near to his embassy as he could get.
Dressed as a peasant lad, playing the simpleton.
It worked. No one took any notice of him, staring gormlessly at the big lorry.
Clever young bugger.
Here! What are you bloody doing? You can't get that lorry out!
Trouble? Is this the Englishman?
What did you come here for? Well, some young man came in, tall as a cucumber, nicked the lorry.
He's in the lorry. Stop him! Stop him! Soon did you have
to... He's heading for the embassy.
He double-crossed me. I never thought.
How did he know?
It was my last chance. Feelings of panic, fear, desperation, the lot. I drove the lorry the 300 odd yards to the embassy. Top speed seemed to be 30, and the SNB was shooting. I heard bullets hit the side of the lorry. Then I was in the embassy grounds and came to a crash halt against the steps. The shooting ceased. I rang the embassy bell. Large brass affair.
Open up! Open up, please! Open up!
Hello. What's up?
I'm Nicholas Whistler. I want asylum.
Oh, well, come on in then.
Morning, Whistler. How are we today?
I'm very well, thank you, Mr. Ruddinghead. I don't think...
What's the matter now, old cock?
The matter is, old cock, I've been stuck in this blasted building for 2 weeks.
2 weeks and 4 days?
It seems like 2 years. Are we going to go over the facts yet again?
Serves you right for flushing things down the loo.
Perhaps I should have swallowed it instead.
And I've got to earn my keep. You can't recall any of the mathematical equations, of course.
Oh, don't be daft. I'd have to have a photographic mind.
So it was only Aldermaston, figure 8, third stage, Banshee.
That's all.
I just wondered if you'd come up with something in your sleep, old cock.
One thing.
Ah, yes?
Why the hell didn't they send the thing through the usual channels, the diplomatic bag or by a diplomatic messenger?
The diplomats try to distance themselves from spying. Messengers can be corrupted, bags searched.
So they thought of Midget Man Vowles?
Probably. Anyway, he's been locked up, I'm told.
And the wrestling champion, Pavelka?
He was duped too, old cock, like you. He hasn't a sou, lives in a bedsitter in the Bayswater Road.
Do you know who gave Vowles the gen on me?
It's most likely your uncle, Imre Gabriel.
Imre Gabriel? Yes. That would account for his panic. He's not... wanting to tell Marlink, of course. Duped by him? Duped by Vlaster?
And who wouldn't be by that beauty? Her information about your old nanny, though, Hannah Shimkova, was wrong, you know.
You mean she isn't dead?
She was looking remarkably lifelike when we sent someone round to see her last week.
I could have taken refuge with her.
They didn't want you to do that, did they?
No, of course not. But it was Imre Gabriel who told me she was dead. Why did he do that? And when the hell am I going back to England, Ruddinghead?
I remember Ruddinghead vividly. He had a bulging, childlike forehead and small reptilian eyes. They wouldn't let me go till they'd checked my story from all points of the compass. I remained at the embassy for 10 long weeks.
Vowles and his daughter, and that is Miss Vogler, are being exchanged for you, old cock.
Am I worth it?
God knows, but it saves us the trouble of smuggling you out on a flight in a large box.
When is the exchange?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? You mean I'll be back home tomorrow?
That's the ticket. Tomorrow.
Why did you do it, Uncle?
What, Nicholas? What do you mean?
Why did you spy on me for this man Vowles, or Vogler, to give him his real name? Why did you send me out to Prague?
Vowles? I don't know what you say, Nicholas.
Yes, you do. Vowles, who asked you for all the details of my life. Vowles, who made up the story about Uncle Biela's death. Vowles, the moneylender.
I should like you to understand, my boy, that it was all meant for the best.
I'm just sure you thought it was.
Was it a bad thing? Was it not better than working for Nemec?
You don't want to understand, do you? Did you know that Vowles was going to make up a story about Uncle Biela dying and the legacy and...
No, that I was uneasy about. But he said, Mr. Pavelka insisted, yes. And you know, to me, Mr. Pavelka is a big man, a colossus. I wish I could be as successful as Mr. Pavelka.
Have you met him recently, Uncle?
No, but I knew him years ago in Prague. With his reputation...
Oh, Uncle Imre, you are an old fool.
Yes, that is true.
Didn't they tell you they meant to send me to Prague?
To Prague? No.
What made you tell Vowles that Hannah Shimkova was dead then?
Because this man you called Vowles started asking me if you knew anyone in Prague.
Because he was sending me there.
I should have put 2 and 2 together. I remembered Hannah was still there, and I didn't want trouble for her or for you, so I said she was dead. It was a white lie.
A white lie? Oh, what else can I say, Uncle? It's not too good a story, is it, your story?
That is not the worst. There is the money.
What money, Uncle?
The man you call Vowles. He gave me £50. I can't give it back. I spent it.
Well, you won't have to. Vowles and his daughter have been deported to Czechoslovakia.
He was a lawyer in Prague, you know. We knew him as Vogler. Two men came and asked me many questions about him. I told him that we all knew him. All the emigres know him, I said.
I'm sure you all did. Nothing would surprise me anymore.
But, Nicholas, as one door closes, another opens. So now you can go to Canada with a clear conscience.
Oh, come, Uncle, not that trick. Not the Biela daydream with me as his heir and so on.
Why do you speak like that?
But you know why when it comes to Uncle Biela.
You mean you don't know? You haven't heard?
Heard what? About what? What?
He had, of course, left the important news until last. He showed me the letter, addressed to me, from Uncle Biela. It made me his heir. Asked me to come to Canada and sent me a one-way ticket. That was 30-odd years ago. And as I said, I've had to keep this story to myself until now. Although I did tell Maura most of it after we were married. Most of it. I thought it better not to mention the beautiful giantess.
In The Knight of Wenceslas by Lionel Davidson, dramatized by Frederick Bradnam, Rupert Graves played young Nicholas, John Horsley, old Nicholas, Joanna Kanska, Blaster, Jonathan Adams, Vowels, Shandor Ellis, Pavelka, John Webb, Nemec and Roddinghead, Steve Hodson, Galushka, Teresa McElroy, Maura, Philip Anthony, Joseph, John Church, Uncle Imre, Linda Polan, Maminka and Mrs. Nolan, Matthew Morgan and Keith Drinkle, the security police, and Federe Holmes, Paula. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.
And next week at the same time, you can hear another Gold and Silver Dagger Award winner, The 7% Solution